Your speaker is Claude Farr.
Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. Here Paul just speaks of the gospel that he preaches. The gospel that he had preached at Galatia. And then comments on his surprise that they had so quickly turned away from that original gospel that he had preached to them. And so let's read Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul said, I certify you with regard to the gospel that he preached. As a result of that, some people have referred to the gospel as the certified gospel, meaning the one that you can be assured of, the gospel that's guaranteed. From this passage, I want to notice several things about the certified gospel or the gospel which the Apostle Paul preached. First thing is this. The gospel that we're reading about here is the original gospel. And let me just reread verse 6. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Paul had come to Galatia. He had preached there. The Galatians, many of them, had heard the gospel and become Christians. And then after Paul left, some other teachers came and they preached something a little bit different. Another gospel. And the apostle is simply saying in these verses, that I marvel that you have so soon removed yourselves from the original gospel that I preached to you, and you've turned aside to another gospel. The original gospel for us today is the one that Paul preached. The original gospel is the one that we have in our New Testament. There are a lot of different gospels being preached in the religious world today. Many people are proclaiming gospels, different gospels. But the first thing that I wanted us to notice this morning from this text is that there is an original gospel. And it is the one that we read about in the New Testament. And any gospel message that is preached in the 20th century that is not the same as the gospel that is found in our New Testament is not the original gospel. And what we need to preach today, what we need to learn today, and what we need to obey today is not the gospels of human invention, but the original gospel as we read about it in the New Testament. Many in the 20th century have done like the Galatians. They have turned from the original gospel to a new gospel, to another gospel. And in this passage, the apostle is writing against that and warning against that. So the first thing that I wanted to emphasize this morning is simply that the gospel that Paul preached, the one that we read about in the New Testament, that is the original gospel. And then there's a second thing that he tells us about that gospel. That is, the gospel which Paul preached was the pure gospel as opposed to a perverted or changed gospel. Let me read verse 7. Which is not another. In other words, Paul had said to the Galatians, you have left the original gospel and you've turned to another gospel. But now he kind of modifies his statement to explain what he means. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. We understand the idea of perverting or changing something. And we might think of it in terms of a glass of water. Cool, clear water. Drink it. Quench your thirst. But put some salt in it. People have died of thirst on the ocean. Water everywhere. Salt in it. Take a piece of bread, the staff of life. Eat it. Receive the nutrients that you need. Pervert it. Put a little poison in it. And that which is life-giving becomes deadly. The same thing is true with regard to the gospel of Christ. And that's what Paul is talking about here. He says, first of all, you've turned to another gospel, not the original. But then he kind of modifies it to help us understand his meaning. And he says, what I really mean is that it is a perverted gospel that you have turned to. Now we know from the reading of the book of Galatians, and we know from the study of the book of Acts, exactly who it is and what type of teaching Paul is talking about. The scholars call these false teachers Judaizers. The New Testament simply refers to them as the Pharisees that believed. And these are the people that had come into Galatia after Paul and had preached this perverted gospel. But it'll help us a great deal if we understand a little bit more about those Judaizers and what they believed and what they didn't believe. It's amazing how right they were on so many things. These false teachers with this perverted gospel that Paul is talking about, they did not deny God. They believed in God every much as Paul believed in God. Judaizing teachers that came into Galatia with the perverted gospel, they believed in Jesus Christ. They had become Christians. They were Pharisees, but then they had become Christians. They believed in Jesus Christ. These Judaizing teachers that came into Galatia and were preaching this perverted gospel, they believed in the resurrection of Christ, and they did not deny His other miracles. They believed in the basic facts of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. They believed in that. These Judaizing teachers that came to Galatia preaching a perverted gospel, they believed in baptism. They had obeyed the plan of salvation. They had become Christians. They had been baptized into Christ. They believed all that. But in addition to that, they added some things of their own ideas from the law of Moses to the gospel of Christ. They insisted that the Gentiles, when they became Christians, not only had to believe in God and Christ and be baptized for their remission of sins and those sort of things, but they said also they need to be circumcised. And also they need to keep the law. Now I said all that to say this, that most of what those Judaizing teachers believed and preached was the same thing that Paul believed and preached. But when they added that little bit of other element, just like putting a little salt in water, when they added that little bit of other element in it, it perverted the gospel. Paul does not mean it's totally different, but he means that it is a perverted gospel. And that's really what happens in the modern religious world. Most of those in the religious world today who are preaching a gospel different from that in the New Testament, they're not teaching something that's totally different. But they're teaching many of the very basic things that we read about in the original gospel. But in addition to that, there are some changes that have been made that make it a perverted gospel. And you know, a perverted gospel is hard to recognize as opposed to someone who totally does not believe anything. It's not hard to see when a man stands up and says, "I am an atheist." It's not hard to see that that's not the gospel of Christ. Or if a man says that I do not believe that Jesus was the Son of God and that He was raised from the dead, it's not hard to tell that that person has left the gospel of Christ. Or if someone comes along with an immoral teaching and teaches that it's perfectly all right to live an immoral life, it's not hard to spot that. But when someone comes along and they're teaching basically the facts that we read about in the New Testament about God and about Christ and about good morality, and those things basically that we read in our New Testament are taught, but then in addition to that, they insert some of their own doctrines and some things that are a little different from what's in the New Testament. It's harder to recognize that. That's what Paul is talking about here. These Judaizing teachers were teaching the basic gospel of Christ. But they slipped in a few other things. And Paul said that that was a perverted gospel. And it's no different in the 20th century than it was in the first century. We need to be very careful that we do not let anyone slip in a perverted gospel in the place of the original gospel that we have in our New Testament. Then the third thing I want to notice about this gospel this morning is this. It really was the only gospel. That is, the only legitimate gospel. And let me read verses 8 and 9. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Paul simply says that the curse of heaven will be upon anyone who preaches a gospel different from that which he had preached. That's a warning to all preachers. And that's a warning to everyone who teaches religion, whether in a classroom, from a pulpit, or across the backyard fence. There is a stiff warning that the curse of heaven is upon anyone who would preach a gospel different from that which we have in our New Testament. But not only that. It's not only dangerous to preach and teach a different gospel. It's dangerous to believe and accept a different gospel. The book of Matthew, the 15th chapter, Jesus is talking about the idea of religious teaching. About verse 13, he says that every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Now, Jesus is not talking about agriculture there. He's using that as an illustration. The context is that of religious teaching. He's simply saying that every religious teaching that does not come from God will be rooted up and destroyed. But then in the next verse he says this, talking about the same thing. If the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. That is an illustration of religious teachers. And he's simply saying, to use the idea here from the text, if someone comes along teaching a different gospel, a blind teacher, teaching a gospel different from the gospel of Christ, he'll fall in the ditch. But everyone that hears and everyone that accepts and follows it, they will also fall into the ditch. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the ditch. There are many warnings found in the New Testament about false gospels, false religious teachings, warnings against it. And I guess of all that are found in the Bible, probably this one here in this text is as strong as any. When Paul says that the curse of heaven will be upon anyone who comes teaching a gospel different from the one that he taught, the one that is revealed to us in the New Testament. But then there's a fourth thing about this gospel that I want us to know this morning. The gospel that Paul preached was a God-pleasing gospel. And he makes this point in verse 10 about his motivation. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Paul is saying that in the gospel that he preached, that his motivation was not to please man, but to please God. And that's the way it's supposed to be. The idea of religious teaching and preaching is not to please ourselves or other people. But the idea of preaching the gospel is that we preach that which is pleasing to God. That which is popular. the message that's popular and pleasing to man is not necessarily a true message. There's a good illustration of this in a story in the Old Testament, found in 2 Chronicles chapter 18. You might want to turn there sometime, not this morning, but sometime turn it and read that chapter. It's a very interesting chapter. Jehoshaphat, a good king, and Ahab, a bad king, kind of joined forces to go up to Jabesh Gilead and fight against Syria. And Jehoshaphat said, well, let's first of all inquire of the Lord whether our battle will be prosperous. And so they called in some prophets. Ahab called in 400 prophets, and their message was, go, and the Lord will prosper you. Jehoshaphat was a little bit suspicious, and he said, well, isn't there another prophet? And there was another one, a prophet named Micah. And they sent for him. But while they're sending for him, Zedekiah stood up, and he was one of the 400 prophets. And he made him some horns of iron. And he put those kind of on his head, and he walked around in front of the king and in front of all the people there and said, with these you will drive the armies of Syria. Great victory. That's just what Ahab wanted to hear. It's what everybody wanted to hear. And when the messengers went to Micah, they told Micah about this and said, now let your voice be like one of theirs. But it wasn't. When he stood before the king, he said, I saw Israel scattered as sheep without a shepherd. Meaning, of course, that their king would be killed. Ahab would be slain. He wasn't very popular. In fact, they put him in prison and put him on bread and water till they got back. King Ahab didn't get back, but that was the idea. The popular message, the message that was pleasing to man, was not the true message, and it was not the message that was pleasing to God. We need to always remember that the important thing in a message, a religious message, is never does it please man, never does it please us, but is it pleasing to God? And the apostle is saying here concerning his work at Galatia, all of his labors in preaching the gospel, that he was preaching a God-pleasing gospel. That was his motivation. And that needs to always be our motivation in all of our religious teaching and preaching. And then there's one final thing that I want to notice about this gospel this morning. This gospel was a revealed gospel. Let me read verses 11 and 12 from this chapter. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul is just saying that the gospel that he preached is not of human origin. It's not the result of mankind and their search after God. But it is a revelation of Jesus Christ given to the Apostle Paul. Same idea, a little different words, from 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The gospel which Paul preached did not have a human origin, but it came as a revelation from God. And that's why we don't tamper with it. That's why we don't try to change and improve it. That's why we have to leave it exactly as it is, no additions and no subtractions. And the gospel of Christ is the only thing in the world, so far as I know, that's like that. We change and tamper with everything else, and should. For example, the field of science. What do? Well, we go to school if we want to be a scientist, and we go to school and we learn all that the scientists of all ages before us have learned about something. But we don't stop there. After we acquire all of that, then during our lifetime, we try to improve upon that and change that and advance the horizons of the scientific world. Man goes to medical school and he studies medicine. He learns all that's to be known about his particular field of medicine. And then he may very well, during his years as a practitioner, he may advance beyond what he learned. He may go and learn more, and later in his life as a doctor, he may know more than all of his teachers. because he advanced beyond. That's true in every field of human learning. And the reason is this, that we're human just like the people before us are human. And if you can tell me everything you know about something, and I'm as smart as you are, then give me a lifetime and I'm bound to be able to add something to it. And that's what we do in every field of human endeavor. We take all that the past accumulation of human knowledge has to offer, and then we advance beyond it. And that's human progress. And we do that in every field, except one, and that's religion. And the reason we don't do it in religion is that religion is not something that men through the ages have built up. But religion comes down from heaven perfect. It is revelation from God. It is given to us by inspiration. And you cannot take God's perfect religion revealed from heaven and the combined minds of all men of all ages and improve on that. We don't tamper or change the gospel of Christ as we do everything else. We don't tamper or change the gospel of Christ simply because, as Paul states here, it is revealed to us from the God of heaven, and we can improve on that. So the apostle, as he writes to the church at Galatia, is trying to tell them, the gospel that I presented to you, that is it. And I marvel that you would move away from it and turn to a slightly altered or a perverted gospel. We need to always get back to the original gospel as contained in the New Testament. That's the gospel that can save us. In the book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 15 and 16, Jesus gave what we generally call the Great Commission. He said to the apostles, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And that's what we've been talking about this morning. The gospel that was to be preached to every creature. And then in the next verse, he states the terms of salvation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And that's the gospel that Paul preached. That's the gospel all the apostles preached. A gospel message that through Christ, if you will believe and be baptized, you can be saved. And we're inviting you to do just that. To put your faith in God and in Christ. And then, of course, the repenting of your sins and the confession of that faith. And then be baptized for the remission of sins. And if you want to do that and be saved by the original gospel as proclaimed in the New Testament, then you can.